From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Last week, the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, made headlines when he announced in an essay that he is gay. He is the first Fortune 500 CEO to come out publicly as gay. In coming out, Tim Cook announced a homosexuality for which workers in 29 states can be fired. There are workplaces where being out gay can damage careers and work relationships. There are places where it does not matter. This hour on Point, being gay in the American workplace is being out now okay. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Gay listeners, what is it like in your workplace? Are you out and comfortable or not? Why? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Before last week, you may have known Tim Cook primarily for product announcements. Here he was at the launch of the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus in September.
These are the new iPhones, the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus. They are, without a doubt, the best iPhones we've ever done.
Just talking products. But last year, he began talking more broadly about human rights, about people and how they are treated. This was from a speech at the UN in New York. Apple CEO again, Tim Cook, saying that as a child growing up in Alabama, he witnessed a cross burning, and that changed his life forever.
Since these early days, I have seen and I have experienced many other types of discrimination, and all of them were rooted in the fear of people that were different than the majority.
And then Tim Cook began to talk more specifically. This was just last week at an induction ceremony into the Alabama Academy of Fame. Tim Cook is from Alabama. He said that it was unacceptable that gay people in his home state could still be fired from their jobs because of their sexual orientation.
As a state, we took too long to take steps toward equality, and once we began, our progress was too slow. Too slow on equality for African Americans. Too slow on interracial marriage, which was only legalized 14 years ago. And still too slow on equality for the LGBT community.
And then last week in Bloomberg Businessweek, the essay that had everybody talking and still does. The essay in which Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, says, "I consider gay, but being gay, one of the greatest gifts God has given me." We're going to talk about his story and the broader American story on this front in this hour. Joining us first today from San Francisco is Kara Swisher, executive editor of Recode, an independent tech news and analysis site, former Wall Street Journal technology columnist, big figure in the Silicon Valley world and beyond. Kara Swisher, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you here.
Thanks a lot.
So you've walked this road yourself. You came out yourself very prominently in your 20s. You know what it's like in the California Silicon Valley culture. What's it? Give us a sense of Tim Cook's path through Apple. Who knew what when? The whole world learned last week. But how has he handled this in his rise to the top of Apple, Kara?
I don't think he's handled it at all. I think people who knew him well, he seemed to say, he didn't talk a lot in detail about it, and he didn't tell me. But people at Apple seemed to know, as apparently his friends and family knew at some point during his process. But in general, he never spoke about anything about his personal life. You knew very little about any interests he had or any personal things that he did, which was unlike a lot of CEOs in Silicon Valley, where you do know quite a bit about that. But he was very private, and this is something he was very private about, too.
As you write, we know that Sergey Brin kite surfs at Google, and Jeff Bezos loves space, and Elon Musk wants to die on Mars.
Yeah.
Tim Cook, as son of Alabama, as we are learning this week, the broader public is kind of getting introduced further. 12 years with IBM. He was at Compaq Computer Corporation. He came to Apple. He was number two to Steve Jobs for a long time and very much in the deep shadow of Steve Jobs. Was it obvious? Do we know? Did everybody at each of these stops along the way know that he was gay or was he closeted?
I have no idea. I don't think he was closeted. I just don't think he was out. I think that, he didn't, like he said, is that people knew privately, but he never publicly acknowledged it. And I think that was the issue, is that he never publicly acknowledged it, despite people being aware of it.
You've written just in the last few days that you once were co-moderating a conference. You were talking with Tim Cook, and you were very tempted on the stage when he was being evasive about products, as Apple leaders often are. You were tempted to ask him about his sexuality. So you had some reason to wonder.
Sure. I had heard the rumors. It wasn't one. It's not like we're sneaking around wondering mm-hmm. who's gay here in Silicon Valley. It's mm-hmm. insane. But, you know, we were, everybody, it was well known, but nobody knew. So, you know, it just was a question of whether it was his business to come out or not. And I, at that point, thought it was his business.
Let's look at the concentric circles here. He said in his essay that he said, I've had the good fortune to work at a company, Apple, that loves creativity and innovation and knows it can only flourish when you embrace people's differences. Will this public announcement make any difference in the Apple culture, in Tim Cook's leadership within the company, Carol?
No, not at all. I mean, Apple has been at the forefront of gay issues in fighting for gay rights since the 1980s and even before that. I mean, it's always been a very tolerant company. It's always been publicly supportive of gay employees. And so it's not, I don't think that'll change in any way. I think this is a company that has long had a history of supporting gay issues and will continue to.
He wrote at the end of this essay that he felt a kind of a responsibility at this point in his career. Mm-hmm. He said, we paved the sunlit path toward justice together, brick by brick. This is my brick. Was it clear before last week that Tim Cook is a kind of social or cultural campaigner?
Well, he has been speaking out a lot over. At first, he started very slowly. He's been upping the Apple's impact on environmental issues, which is something people criticize them for under his regime, as opposed to Steve Jobs's. He certainly has been doing more about issues in China and things like that, human rights issues, and he's had to, of course. But he's also been speaking a lot out about social justice, which I chronicled in the piece. He started to talk about it last year when he accepted an award. He said something very personal. And then he did it again just recently when he was talking about Alabama. So he's been starting to say very political. I don't consider them political things. It's about people's basic human rights. But he's been starting to be rather open about his interest in social justice issues. He has been a big, I think on his wall, he has pictures of Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther, Dr. King. And so he's talked about that, like how important those figures are to his feelings about how he wants to live his life. And so that was part of what I think this is.
And what about just in Silicon Valley, your core turf there, Kara? Does this make a difference there? Is there still hesitation about being out? Is there still prejudice there? Or does Silicon Valley feel free of that or not?
I think it's relatively free. It depends. Yes, I do. I think compared to most workplaces or most sectors, technology has always sort of been in that sort of live and let live mentality. Certainly at Apple, he was certainly safe to come out. And of course, he's Tim Cook, which means he's enormously wealthy. He's very privileged, and he's coming from a position of strength to do this. And I don't think there'll be a lot of repercussions on him personally at all.
Kara Swisher with Recode joining us from San Francisco. Kara, thanks for coming on for a minute. Great to have you.
Thanks a lot.
Dina Fidas joins me right now from San Francisco, director of the Workplace Equality Program at the Human Rights Campaign. It's a civil rights group working to achieve LGBT equality. Dina, thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks so much.
2014, and still it's the first time that a CEO of a Fortune 500 company has come out in this way. I haven't paid as much attention as you, but it surprised me. That's 500 companies, and there's been turnover for a lot of years. You would have thought someone before now would have come out. And it's Apple's CEO. What difference does it make, Dina?
Well, you know, it's a great question. And I think the sense of surprise is echoed across the community in many regards. However, what we do know from a national perspective, so not just talking about C-suite, as Kara said, you know, he's Tim Cook.
Yeah.
But not
the
just
boss.
Talking about the C-suite. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We have found consistently now in two major national studies that roughly half of all lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans who are LGBT are closeted on the job. And, you know, I think what we are hailing about the Tim Cook piece is that this was a public affirmation of who he is. And yet at the same time, being out or being open is often a daily process. And so when we say that roughly half of people are closeted on the jobs, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're actively lying about who they are. But come Monday morning when everyone's chit-chatting about what they did over the weekend, it's amazing how boring LGBT people may come across because they're simply avoiding conversations in which they may out themselves, reference a same-sex partner, reference, something they did over the weekend in their families that would somehow reveal their sexual orientation.
You can't get a bigger business figure than Tim Cook. Do you think this will make a material difference to ordinary American workers in their workplace, give them more of a green light to be out, and their coworkers make them more likely to accept and open the way to the top if that's where they're headed.
You know, that's a great question too, and I think it is so so much about the context of the individual worker. And what I find in my work is that somebody's ability to be out, to be respected as an LGBT individual, can often defy conventional wisdom. What I mean is, I've worked with transgender employees in Tennessee and in Kentucky, and in parts of the country where one would think it must be incredibly challenging to be LGBT. And I've seen people be essentially closeted on Wall Street, and so to the extent that Tim Cook will have a sort of trickle-down effect, if you will, on the average LGBT American worker, perhaps. I mean, I think it's definitely aspirational, and I think that anytime somebody comes out, it diversifies the pool of people that those of us in the community can look to and say, yes, we are CEOs, we are lawmakers, we are athletes, we are everywhere.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point, and we're talking this hour about Apple CEO Tim Cook coming out as gay, the first openly gay Fortune 500 CEO in the country, in history. It's kind of incredible, 2014, but there's number one, and it's a big one at Apple. We'll look at the impact of his going public and how it is now, today, in the American workplace for gay workers. Tim Cook's essay in Bloomberg Businessweek, he hasn't talked much about that publicly yet, but he was talking last week in Alabama at the Academy of Honor there. He was inducted, and he said Alabama in particular, his home state, could do better.
Under the law, citizens of Alabama can still be fired based on their sexual orientation. We can't change the past, but we can learn from it, and we can create a different future.
And it's not just Alabama. 29 states, you can be fired for homosexuality. Talking with NBC here with Susie Orman about why Cook's announcement matters.
It matters because it is still not accepted all over the place. And now we have a major player saying, I'm gay, which opens the door to many other things to come.
But many still feel vulnerable. Here talking with CNN, Jason, a gay man in one of those 29 states where you can be fired, talks about what that leaves hanging over him.
All it takes is one person with a homophobic view to decide that that's what they want to do, and they could, you know, legally fire you for being gay.
In 2014.
For sure. There's no protection at all.
Gay workers, all workers, how's it look to you out there in your workplace? 800-423-8255. Dina Fidas joins us from the Workplace Equality Program at the Human Rights Campaign from San Francisco. And with me in the studio right now, Nancy Kane, historian and professor of business administration at Harvard Business School. Nancy, thanks for being here. What do you make of this announcement, its significance?
I think it's a really big deal, Tom. I think it's a big deal because it's, you know, it's a big tectonic plate moving, right? Social progress doesn't come in smooth linear fashion or in undulating waves of wheat. It comes right through this very difficult, you know, kind of plate by plate scraping and moving and then being pushed back. So Tim Cook, you know, arguably in charge of arguably the most successful right now, one of the highest market valued company in the world, one of the most iconic brands in the world with a suite of products that right now looks unbeatable, saying this sends a message not only in the United States about how those plates of progress are moving, but abroad, right, where there are some 78
countries.
The company
that makes these incredible products is led by a man who is publicly gay.
Mm-hmm. And there are still something like 80 countries in the world where being homosexual is illegal. That's a very powerful message. It's a powerful message in the workplace. It's a powerful message to young people. It's a powerful message, and this is important, to everyone carrying their iPhone. Right. This is the company. The iPhone now, in some very important way, becomes associated with the progressive stance that Cook is taking. And that patina now is cast on top of the Apple brand. That's important. And it's important socially. It's important strategically. Ultimately, I think it will be important in some small way financially to the company. So every way you look at this, it's a big deal. I think your point that this has taken a long time. You know, we now have African-American CEOs. Mm-hmm. CEOs. We now have a few women CEOs in Fortune 500 companies, right? We have seen the plates move in these other venues, and now this big plate, you know, moving forward in the river of progress with Tim Cook at Apple.
Dinafi Das, you're there in San Francisco, more or less Apple's backyard. They're down in Cupertino. Tim Cook wrote in his essay, he says, "While I have never denied my sexuality, I haven't publicly acknowledged it either until now." And that's where he went on to say that he's proud to be gay, he considers among the greatest gifts God has given him. Have you been lobbying Tim Cook to come out and make this statement, Dina? You're right there, just up the road from Tim.
No, I personally have not. And just, excuse me, I'm actually based out of Washington, D.C. typically. But, you know, I think what Tim Cook's words demonstrate is that, you know, how once you achieve a position of power and influence as an LGBT individual, you have a sense of responsibility. And that's what I heard loud and clear in his essay. On the one hand, he was saying, look, I was raised to be humble. I don't want to make a big deal out of myself. And yet I recognize that in 29 states, people can be fired for the declaration I'm about to make. I recognize that there are young people looking at me and that, you know, my decision to affirm publicly that, yes, I'm a gay man. I'm also and, you know, list the attributes. I'm the head of one of the most powerful companies in the world. I'm successful. I'm this. I'm that. I'm also gay. And that's, I think, what you saw in his essay.
It's very interesting how he laid it out. Among the greatest gifts God has given me, he wrote. He said, being gay has given me a deeper understanding of what it means to be in the minority. And therefore, he said, it's made me more empathetic, which has led to a richer life. There's one. He says, it's been tough and uncomfortable at times, but that's given me the confidence to be myself. That's interesting. And Nancy, he says, it's given me the skin of a rhinoceros, which comes in handy when you're the CEO of Apple. He's got a long career. I don't doubt that in some way all those things are true.
Absolutely. And, you know, and again, let's think about the timing of this, right? It's been, what, 3 years now since, or almost 4 years since Steve Jobs died, right?
Mm-hmm.
He stepped out of those dark
Huge
shadows,
figure, yep.
right? Out of those dark shadows, Tom. And every single year we have seen the public footprint of Tim Cook grow socially, mm-hmm. right? Financially, strategically. I mean, he is, you know, more and more becoming his own leader, his own, you know, his own spokesperson and the new face of Apple. You know, not to take anything away mm-hmm. from Jonathan Ivey and all the incredibly, you know, relentless and talented people there. But Tim Cook is making Apple and his own path definitively his own. That's very, very important. I think something else that was very interesting about the end of the essay is he says, I am many things. Right. I am a sports fanatic. Right. Mm-hmm. I am a Southerner. Mm-hmm. I am many things. I am a, you know, product person. I don't want to be known only as, right, a gay CEO of a mm-hmm. Fortune 500 mm-hmm. company, just like Drew Faust at Harvard saying, yes, I'm a female president of Harvard, but I am the president of Harvard. And that's on top of the game. So this very discriminating, discerning, right, frame that he's putting on this, savvy, smart. You know, and I think arguably brave, as many others have pointed out.
And a very deliberately crafted essay where he says, look,
no
I like
question.
My privacy. I don't forget. Remember, I'm more than this, but I am this. Lots of callers. We want to hear from you listeners about what it's like in your workplace, particularly if you're gay. What's that like in 2014? Tara in Hartford, Connecticut. Tara, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to share that I've been an openly gay police officer for 12 years, and I've had no problems whatsoever with my police department. Everybody knows. It's never been a secret. And I've been accepted overwhelmingly.
Tara, did you go from covering to open at some point, or did you come in openly gay? How did that work?
I came in as open. Of course, during the police academy, I really wanted to just fade into the woodwork because you don't want any kind of attention on yourself. But I didn't hide it there. But once I became at my job, I was always open.
What when you're interacting with the public, is it there's not an issue because you've got your uniform, you've got your job, or is it an issue there as well, Tara?
I think it's obvious when you're dealing with me. I mean, it doesn't come up in conversation unless I feel like it needs to. If I'm dealing with a troubled gay or lesbian youth, I'll sometimes
yeah.
tell them
yeah.
to give them some hope. And, you know, once in a while I'll get called a derogatory comment name by
yeah.
somebody on the street. But it's also been great because I can educate the public when I hear a derogatory term. I say, that's really unacceptable. And Every single time, they will apologize.
What did you think when you heard Tim? Well, that's pretty cool. What did you think when you heard Tim Cook was coming out?
I thought that was fantastic.
That's a pretty big figure. Tara, I appreciate your call so much, and good luck. Let me get one more right here from Buffalo, New York. Ryan, you're calling. You're on the air, Ryan.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
I am an RN in a Catholic hospital in Buffalo, New York, and I've spent about half of my career in the closet and about half out of the closet the last 3.5 years or so, and it's been nothing but positive. I've had nothing but positive comments from people I work with, and it's been really great.
What does being out mean in your case, Ryan? Does it mean you say to your workmates, look, I'm gay? Does it mean you don't have to articulate it, but you don't have to hide it either? Like, how do you handle it?
Most of my workmates know that I have a boyfriend and we're in a serious relationship, but quite honestly, I don't talk about it a whole lot. It's not something that defines who I am. It's just part of who I am.
Do you find yourself being more discreet than your, I don't know, hetero workmates about love life, about weekend activities? I mean, you say you're out, but are you really fully comfortable in being present?
Yeah, I would say actually most of my workmates want to know about my life and ask questions about it. But I think for the most part, I don't like to particularly talk about it to begin with. I mean, I'm happy,
sure,
and they all know it, and they don't really talk about it.
Ryan, I appreciate your call from Buffalo. That's great. Let me get one more right here. Des Moines, Iowa, PJ. PJ, thank you. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Okay. What's your experience, PJ?
For me, I am not professionally out, but in my private life, I am. And from my experience, it doesn't matter if I try to share it with my coworkers. There's always something negative that comes about and happens. I've not had the same experience as your other caller.
Have you tried sharing it with your coworkers and been burned, or are you just afraid to do it because you think you would be burned?
Nope, I've been burned by a superior.
And what does being burned mean? Did he say, I don't want you talking about that around here, or did he sidetrack your career? What?
Sidetrack my career. And it's hard working with people that are heterosexual and have strong religious beliefs, and it's hard to combat against that.
PJ, I'm glad you call as well, because we know it's not all a bed of roses out there. Thank you very much for your call. Dinifidas, this number, 29 states in which by law you can be fired just for your sexuality, that's kind of an incredible number here too. How often does active discrimination, even firing, actually happen, Dina?
You know, that's a question we get a lot, and that actually speaks directly to the legal catch-22. Without articulated protections, by lacking federal protections, but also in the 29 states, you therefore don't have an agency collecting and documenting instances of discrimination. And so instead, what we have are, similar to the call we just heard, information coming to us at the Human Rights Campaign. We do know the flip side, that when states do enact explicit protections on the basis of sexual orientation, data from the Williams Institute shows that, you know, this does not open the floodgates to frivolous lawsuits or anything of the sort, but rather the rates of those levels of discrimination as reported to the state agency are comparable to those of gender, race, and other protected categories.
I want to bring in a CEO who is out and very successful. Nancy Kane, please stand by. And Dina Fidas, Robert Hansen joins us right now from Palm Springs, California. He was CEO of American Eagle Outfitters for a couple of years, from 2012 to 2014. Very prominent company there. He's now chief executive officer of John Hardy. It's a luxury jewelry brand. Robert Hansen, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, Tom.
We've been hearing from workers at all kinds of levels, of employment and different kinds of jobs. But, of course, Tim Cook is a big deal, in part because he's the top guy. Was it lonely for you, Robert, when you were CEO at American Eagle and being out? Did it feel – was there some kind of, you know, strangeness about it that you think Tim Cook, having now come out, might help you or others with, or not?
Look, for me personally, no. I've always viewed my role in business as not only trying to drive economic opportunity for the organizations that I'm leading, but to recognize my accountability in leading those organizations to craft a culture that enables the companies that I'm involved with to be a force for positive social change. And I felt my personal accountability to be out in business, as long as I've been in business, and certainly ever since I've been, you know, helming companies, was my opportunity to contribute to the dialogue. So, you know, I thought Tim's article was beautiful, and it was eloquent. It was quite personal. He's obviously an incredibly powerful guy, so I think it's a terrific step forward for equality on this issue.
Everybody, every company thinks about their public image. When you came in as CEO of American Eagle, did you have a conversation with your with the board of directors there? Did they say, Robert, how do you intend to handle your sexuality? You're out. We think about our marketing campaigns. How do you intend to deal with it or not?
Yeah, it was in that particular case, it was never an issue. You know, I as I've said, I've been out as long as I've been in business, and at senior levels in companies, I was the global president of Levi's prior to joining American Eagle as CEO.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so the board was very clear about it. And, you know, my sense on this issue is I have a unique position to be able to be myself, to perform in my role, to deliver the results for both my shareholders and my customers, and at the same time, by just being visible as I am, hopefully paving the path for others that come behind me with great capability, but not necessarily the circumstances that I've faced that have enabled me to live in this way.
You're prominent and out. Now Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, is super prominent and out. What do you think his coming out means for the future of gay employees and their aspirations for the top job? You've done it. He's there. But being out, does it? Is it a big green light? Does it clear the way somehow? Does it give ever board, other boards of directors confidence to say, we can do this?
Well, look, you know, the public dialogue around gay civil rights is still fairly incendiary. I think, you know, visibility at certain events can elicit a strong reaction. Not all boards or shareholders are as supportive of those that I've worked with. But fundamentally, I think we all have an obligation to pave the path for those that come behind us. I meet other gay people, you know, frankly, as well as women or people of color who also remain underrepresented in senior roles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're extraordinarily gifted, but they haven't necessarily had the same opportunities as me. So I think the ability for us to, you know, recognize that sexual orientation can remain hidden if you'd like it to, unlike gender or ethnicity, regardless of the public profile you live with, to understand that you have an obligation not only to deliver the results you need to for your organization, but in fact to be a role model, not just for other gay and lesbian people, but also for all people who are seeking to kind of bring their best to work every day. We happen to have that obligation. I think Tim's taken up that charge. I've always taken up that charge. And I think it's really that work that will, in fact, enable our organizations to deliver economic opportunity, which is why we're there, but also be a force for positive social change. That's the greater good. People get up every day to work for an organization they believe in and be around people that share the same values that they hold. And if we can show up that way every day, it will just progress us towards our goal of equality and justice for all over time.
Robert Hansen in Palm Springs, California. He was global president of Levi's. He was CEO at American Eagle Outfitters, CEO now at John Hardy, luxury jewelry brand. Robert Hansen, I think we can hear in your delivery why you're in those positions, and we're grateful to you for being with us this hour. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Appreciate it, Tom. Take care.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about Apple CEO Tim Cook, now 100% out as gay, the first openly gay Fortune 500 CEO. Looking at the impact of that announcement, that essay he put right out there last week, looking at what workplaces are like today for gay Americans. In 29 states, you can be fired for being gay. That's kind of incredible, but here we are. And Tim Cook now says he's proud. One of the greatest gifts God has given him, made him more empathetic, made him tougher, has led to a richer life. Nancy Kane is with us from the Harvard Business School. Dina Fidas is here from the Workplace Equality Program at the Human Rights Campaign. Nancy, Dina, here's one listener online. Brooke writes, this is great, but I don't think this will change things drastically. Brooke writes, like many other LGBT people, I'm in the closet at work. So is my partner of 5+ years. It's not just job security we worry about, but also whether our coworkers and employees will continue to treat us the same. We both love our jobs and don't want that getting in the way. It's hard, though. It's a constant covering up of who we are. Nancy, how common do you think? We heard the numbers from Dina, but in the sort of executive suites that you cover, no Fortune 500 before Tim Cook has ever said, I'm gay. Is that because there aren't any?
I don't think it's because there aren't any. I think a lot of women would very much empathize with this, with our listener, mm-hmm. about covering up. You cover up in lots of different ways. You got to play the game mm-hmm. for your job. Mm-hmm. And if you're ambitious, you really want to play the game and you want to play it well. And that means suiting yourself to the frame, to the culture, to the values. I remember learning all these sports statistics, basketball and football, when I was coming up for tenure at the Harvard mm-hmm. Business School. Mm-hmm. Once I got tenure, I forgot
them. So you could banter with the boys.
Yeah, right. And so I think that we are, as I said, I think this is slow progress, but it is progress. It's enormous progress. Some 60 years ago, Alan Turing, who many of our listeners will know because there's a new movie out about
the code
breaker.
Sort of father of the computer.
Absolutely. A code breaker at Bletchley mm-hmm. during the Second World War. Mm-hmm. Benedict Cumberbatch is yep. playing him, and that'll create a lot of interest. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he was a homosexual. Mm-hmm. He was imprisoned for it, and he was electrically castrated in 1950, in the early 1950s.
In the UK.
He then killed himself. So we think that progress is very slow, but a lot is actually happening. That was 65 years ago. That's 2.5 generations. It's hard, it's too slow, but it is, and it's hard for anyone, not in the frame of the power office, but it is happening.
Robbie in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's your experience?
Well, I'm glad to hear that my brothers and sisters in the gay world up north and out west are having positive experiences. Here in the South, it's not so much. I was recently terminated 2 days after a coworker discovered that I was gay. I was called into the general manager's office and was told that I was not of their culture, that a couple of my religious coworkers were very upset and extremely ill at ease around me now. And that they were afraid if any of our tenants and residents found out, they also might be upset. So I was terminated, quote unquote, for the good of the company.
And Robbie, that's all there was to it. Just you. We now know that you're gay, and so you're fired. I mean, there's no other context for that.
No, sir. I even went as far as go to the corporate office, contact one of the owners, and I was told that was their policy. That, you know, and they said, you know, you really can't do anything. Tennessee is an at-will state. Also, yep. there's no protections at all in the state of Tennessee. And I relocated here from D.C. to take this position. So now I'm kind of stuck in a quandary of finding something before I'm on the street.
Robbie, hang on. We've got Dina Fidas with us. She's from the Human Rights Campaign. Dina, do you have any advice for Robbie? He is in Tennessee, in one of those 29 states where it's at will, as he says, where this can be the justification for firing. Does he have any legal recourse, Dina?
Well, the legal recourse would, I think, be in one part a separate conversation. But one thing I will say that across those 29 states that lack protections on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity, a lot of our work has been to, you know, impress upon the private sector that it's in their best business interest to afford these protections. So there truly is, there's a patchwork of state laws, but cutting across that, you have individual municipalities with these protections in place, and you have a majority of the Fortune 500 protecting their employees explicitly on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity.
Yeah, but you're sort of ducking my question about whether you have advice for Robbie, who's on the line and just got fired.
Well, I apologize. My swim lane is not so much actually on legal advice, so I hesitate to give concrete legal advice. I would invite you, though, to contact us, and we can give legal referrals. However, my scope of work is less about direct case management or legal advice, but instead policy enactment and research on workplace policies, benefits, and then the actual workplace culture.
Robbie, I wish you good luck there, Robbie. There may not be, as you seem to suggest yourself, Robbie, legal recourse, but we're curious, and hey, contact Dina's group if you like. I appreciate your call. One more right here, just on the back of that, from Nashville. Natalie is calling. Natalie, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I am an openly gay employee in Nashville. I work at Vanderbilt University, which has sexual orientation protections and even offers same-sex partner benefits as part of their benefits package.
Okay.
Although, you know, many of my friends, not coworkers, but my friends in town, I know, have lost their jobs and their housing on the basis of their gender identity or sexual orientation, but there are some bright spots in the South where your orientation is not only protected but celebrated. I've had nothing but great experiences here at Vanderbilt.
Natalie, let me ask you, if I may. We heard from Robbie, who got fired because of his sexuality. You feel like it sounds like you're in pretty good circumstances at Vanderbilt. Did you choose this employer because they had these explicit policies that would give you protections?
I was not out at the time when I picked Vanderbilt, but if I am going to stay in Nashville, I will definitely stay at Vanderbilt. And my previous job at Duke University in from North Carolina also had same-sex partner benefits and protections. So, you know, I think it's important to recognize the employers in the South that do offer these protections. And in fact, Vanderbilt is the biggest employer, or one of the biggest employers, in Middle Tennessee, as Duke University was in Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are places that are rare.
But to Dina's point, it doesn't necessarily have to come from the state. Employers can offer a lot of guarantees here as well. It looks like you've been in good circumstances on that front, Natalie. I appreciate your call.
Yes.
And Nancy, what are you thinking as we listen to that? Tim Cook said, again, you know, that he had the good fortune, he wrote, to work at a company that loves creativity and innovation. Now, I asked earlier Robert Hansen about the board of directors and did they have maybe misgivings. But on the other hand, these days, maybe if you're not offering your employees protections, you're not getting some of the employees you most want.
You're absolutely right. So remember, the game increasingly, particularly with the millennial cohort, right? You know, people born after 1981 and the folks following up before them, the values of a company, the workplace environment, the culture, the frame is a huge issue in deciding where you go to work. So you want to attract the best people. I don't care whether you're running a distribution center for Amazon or you're running a fashion company like Robert Hansen, or you're running like an investment bank, or you're the Harvard Business School, which has, you know, shifted enormously in the last 20 years. You have to be a place where people feel like their values, including their sexuality, including their moral and social priorities, are compatible, are simpatico. You are short-sighted, and you are, in a sense, you know, not allowing your business and your company to be at their best.
Maybe not fulfilling your fiduciary responsibility.
That's a great catch.
At some point, I don't know.
You are. I mean, I remember Howard Schultz saying at the annual meeting, CEO of Starbucks to a year and a half ago, to a shareholder that said, I don't think Starbucks should have come out in support of gay marriage, same-sex marriage. And Howard stood there in the Q&A session and said, with all due respect, sell your stocks, sir. We see this as absolutely critical to our people and our partners, and we are going to continue to serve them because that is good business.
But Dina, we heard Robbie's boss who said, look, I'm sorry. I don't know if he said I'm sorry. What we do know, he said, people here are made uncomfortable by your sexuality. It's a workplace problem. And some people may perceive it that way, Dina.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I think you heard in those two, Robbie, and then the prior response.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, is that you have a real spectrum here, and in one spectrum, and again, we apologize for not being able to give direct legal advice right over the radio here, but there are resources. However, generally speaking, when there are no state-level protections and your employer has no protections, there isn't much you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, please do explore it, Robbie, and get in touch with us. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, beyond outright termination, you have a lot of people saying, look, I think I'm going to be stereotyped. I'm going to be known as the lesbian boss or the gay employee if I come out. I don't want to lose connections with my coworkers. I don't want to be passed over for advancement. And the data certainly bears that out nationally. And so one thing that's also important to note here, it's not just in the minds of gay Americans or in the minds of LGBT Americans. When we survey people who don't identify as gay or LGBT, you see significant double standards emerge. A strong majority, despite the fact that they agree, hey, every day in the workplace we have small chit-chat about our families, our out-of-work lives, less than half would feel comfortable having a gay employee participate fully in those conversations in the same way that they do. Second, in a very telling data point, we have a strong majority of over 70% of straight, non-LGBT folks saying that it's, quote, unprofessional to talk about your sexual orientation or your gender identity in the workplace. So what that means on, you know, Monday morning, if you will, is a straight woman says, oh, you know, my husband was out of town, so I was running the kids around. I'm really exhausted.
Yep.
And then you have a lesbian woman saying my partner was out of town, and they're held to a different standard in the workplace. One is perceived as talking about her, quote, personal life, inserting an inappropriate topic into the conversation, and the other is simply being herself, and it's sort of taken for granted.
This issue of whether there should be more legal protection has been a big one. Just a year ago this month, the Senate, U.S. Senate, passed the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. It would prohibit discrimination in hiring employment on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity. Passed there, didn't pass the House. House Speaker John Boehner spoke the next week saying he opposed the legislation.
Listen, I am opposed to discrimination of any kind in the workplace and any place else. But I think this legislation that I've dealt with as chairman of the Education and Workforce Committee long before I was back into leadership is unnecessary and would provide a basis for frivolous lawsuits. People are already protected in the workplace.
Well, no, they're not in many states. Robbie wasn't, but, you know, it didn't make it through Congress. Gary in Montgomery, Alabama. Gary, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, I think that Tim Cook is a new social activist, civil rights activist that came from Alabama. I'm very proud of him. I, too, like Tim Cook. I had crosses burned at every school that I went to in Birmingham. I grew up in Birmingham, where the houses were blown up when black families moved in. Tim Cook is going to be the type of person that can push us forward. Bob Dylan said the times they are changing, and Tim Cook is proof of it. I'm very, very proud of him. I've worked with social activists and some of the finest civil rights lawyers the state's ever seen. Martin Luther King's lawyer has been a mentor to me. And because of the civil rights movement, we are making changes. People should not give up. People should stand proud. At my church, we have a gay, female, married preacher here in Montgomery, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Times are changing. So people should not despair. They should have the courage. They should continue the struggle as we have in the South, as we have in Alabama. And Tim Cook is the new continuum. I just want to cheer him on.
Gary, I so appreciate your call. A very prominent son of Alabama making this statement. Now, just back there within the last couple of weeks speaking to Alabamans about his view. I appreciate your call, Gary. One more here. Des Moines, Iowa. Jim, you're on the air. Thanks for calling, Jim.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi. What's your story, Jim?
Well, I'm a realtor here in town, and it's been a struggle for me for some time to basically try to make a decision, and this lends to, I think, the whole greater gay hiding, covering issue. You know, do I come out fully and just be who I am and take this monkey off my back?
Mm-hmm. Or
if by doing that, am I going to offend half my client base and a bunch of the Republicans maybe that use me? There's a pressure of who knows, who doesn't know, do they care, don't they care? And for me, it's very significant because it affects my paycheck.
Jim, are you completely closeted, or are you open with your colleagues but not with your potential clients, or how do you handle it now?
Yeah, my situation's a little different. I happen to be an individual who isn't for any reason apparently gay. Mm-hmm. However, there are a lot of people who know my situation. I don't go out of my way to wear rainbow flags to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I am legally married to another man. There's a few people that know that, mm-hmm. but then I'm inhibited, like, well, should I take him to the Christmas party?
Yeah.
Is that going to cause a ruckus in my fairly conservative office?
Yeah.
I just try to live my life and do my thing. I happen to have children from a previous marriage, so
yeah.
I think people make assumptions about who I am. But I'm pretty liberal at my core, and, you know, I want these freedoms.
Yeah.
But I just feel the pressure of being, what do I want to say, not excommunicated, but put off to the side a little bit because I don't think I want to deal with the gay guy.
Jim, you make the nuance of it so vivid to us. I thank you very much for calling. We've only got a couple minutes here. Nancy, I want to bring this to you because here's where you can think whatever you want to think. But here's Jim interfacing with all kinds of people and they don't know him, and he's in real estate. They come in, you've got to make that quick connection. I mean, in the end, this can't be dictated. This is a kind of an evolution of the whole society
it
for
is.
Someone outward facing like Jim.
It is. I mean, and again, like back to the tectonic plates, like this is what they mean in a life. This is what they mean in hundreds of thousands of lives.
When such a prominent person says, I'm okay, this
exactly.
is me.
Exactly. And then Jim says, but look, it's not that simple. It's not mm-hmm. like Tim Cook does this and I can march out, you know,
it's not
proudly.
A magic wand.
No, it's complicated, right? It's about power, and power is never seated in a fell stroke. Mm-hmm. But it is changing, right? It's changing very significantly for all kinds of Americans and around the world. It's very interesting. If, again, a large-scale historical comment, that Tim Cook doing this gets a lot more news than House Speaker, former House Speaker Boehner saying, we can't get this done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because in a time of a constipated government in which our citizens have very little faith, Tim Cook doing something makes a huge difference, because guess what? Businesses are now very social animals, and they have reverb in all kinds of ways that 50 years ago we could never have expected. But in the end, Jim, Gary, Robert Hansen, it's still a story person by person with all its struggles and its triumphs, and it ain't easy.
Yeah, as nuanced as every caller's story here today, as every individual's story. But Tim Cook lays down a big brick on that path toward justice that he wrote about in Bloomberg Businessweek. Nancy Kane with Harvard Business School. It's always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for coming in, Nancy.
Real privilege.
And Dina Fadas at the Human Rights Campaign, their Workplace Equality Program. Dina in San Francisco, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. My pleasure.
Listeners, thanks for all your stories. Many more online. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.